Good morning, everyone. Actually, it's probably nearly afternoon now. Hi, my name is Elaine, and I'm a member of Crossroads Christian Church, and I'm just here just to introduce our lovely speaker here today. So we have Monique Anew joining us. She's come all the way from Sydney to share with us. She's a pastor, so she works with both women and with outreach in her church. So it's a Korean Presbyterian church in Sydney called One Family Church, which I really like the name of. I think that's really cool. So she loves reading the Bible with women. She loves equipping and training people to tell them about Jesus. And we're just so grateful to her today for coming to speak to us about our speech and how to be wise with our words. So I'm really looking forward to it. I want to pray for her before she comes down. So just join with me, please. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are such a good, kind and gracious God. Father, we thank you for saving us in Jesus. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd be with us now as we learn, as Monique comes to teach us from your word. We pray that we'd have receptive hearts and that you'd be at work by your spirit to help us to follow you. We pray for Monique. We just thank you for all the time and effort and prayers and work that's gone into preparing this for us. And we just pray that you'd bless her and speak through her. And may we all be mutually encouraged and built up in you this morning. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That moves.
Yeah.
Almost stacked it, which would be a great way to start. Not so great. Well, it is a great privilege to be with you and to be able to share God's word with you. I have a great affection for Canberra. On one hand, I'm one of those people who goes to Parliament House every few years to get a tea towel that has all the prime ministers on it. I'm a nerd. But on the other hand, I have some dearly beloved friends here. But I've always been encouraged by the churches in Canberra, as I hear from my friends, because you do live in a very secular city. You feel the pull of the world, yet have remained faithful to the Word of God and long to unite with other Christians to see Jesus known. That's the thing that most stands out to me about Canberra. So I feel very, very privileged to be speaking with you this morning and through to this afternoon, as we've said. This was at least your second choice of elective, which means that you've chosen to be here. And a group of women who would choose on a lovely Saturday afternoon to come to a conference to study the Bible, but to also have an elective about speech. What we say and don't say, that means you are a wise woman, at least in the choice of being here today, because that's not something that most of us want to spend much time thinking about. And so we're probably at all different points at coming to this elective. But it's a topic that we all, and some of us more than others, have a lot of experience in. Some of us love to speak. We speak all the time. Some of us are more shy, more reserved. But we all know the weight of words. And so just next slide for me, sweetie. Yep, the weight of words. Next slide. See, from the school playground, each one of us has known the weight of words. We know the weight of words of the dibba-dobba. We know the weight of words of gossip, of bullying, of saying a truthful thing and getting slandered for it. We also know the weight of words of friendship. Will you sit with me? There's room on the silver seats. I hope you call them silver seats down here too, those silver seats in a school playground. We know the importance of words, and the importance of speech is something that we don't need the Bible to persuade us of. So I want to ask you a question. Hands up if recently you have said something that in your mind you regret. Okay, look. Okay, next one. Hands up if someone else's words that have been spoken recently you still remember and cannot forget. We know the weight of words, don't we? And we live in a world that is increasingly concerned with words. Dear sisters, we we like, oh, this going to be some big words. We have like a postmodern relativistic movement that came in the mid-20th century that both on one hand said words have no meaning in of themselves, but then gave words a lot of meaning, a lot of power, because you can create meaning through your words. We don't have that fully now in our culture, but here are some examples. So here is a tweet. Kids in 1995, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And adults in 2021, words are literal violence. There's been a big change. The world understands the weight of words. Even the UN put this out. Words can be weapons. This, we talk about hate speech. We talk about being kind. We talk about... And on top of that, we now live in the media age where everyone remembers what you say. Like if you type it down or if you recorded it, you can't delete it. Many of us in the room know a time where we could have forgot, you know, there was a time when you could forget. That time is slowly escaping us. Our world knows the weight of words. But the word, that is the Bible, and God has a different understanding to the world. We will see this morning that words are weighty, but it's different to our world. And I hope we'll get there in our discussions today. But I want to put up for you a proverb. Proverbs 18:21. 21 to 21. Just in, yeah. There's going to be mistakes all through this. I can't see details. The power of the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You just want to sit on that for a bit. We're hopefully going to do that throughout our session this morning. Sit on a few of these proverbs. Just let them sink in. But the power of life and death. Do you remember, some of you would know, the story of the Boxer Rebellion? How it began? Some journalists in the US didn't know what they would write the next day. They were having a fun time. They got together and made this fabricated story and published it in different publications. Set it out into the world as a bit of a laugh, a bit of a way of, you know, saying to the bosses, you know. But then the Boxer Rebellion in China happened as a result of that. Words can have great power. But words have power within ourselves. I want to finish the intro, just have a bit of a reflect on ourselves, because all people struggle with this, but perhaps women especially, we know the weight of words. We're much more likely to think over a conversation, to remember what people have said, to think of a way to get out of a situation with words. We're more likely to question the meaning behind someone's words, more likely to devise that there are actually 4 or 5 layers of understanding to what that guy said, you know. We're more likely to do that. And perhaps some of us are more likely to speak too brashly. Some of us are more cautious. But most of us hold both at the same time. I know me, I can be a gossip, a slanderer, a speaker before I think. But then on the other hand, I will avoid rebuke and truthful speech. I'll be brash on one hand. I'll avoid rebuke and truthful speech, worried about its effects on the other person. What would they think of me? What would they think of my motives? Maybe now's not the right time. Well, God's word today will challenge both of us, no matter what spectrum you are on. And I pray that it will, because we're dealing with God's wisdom. What a wonderful talk we had this morning. What a wonderful talk. Why are we given wisdom? Well, wisdom calls to us, and so does folly. The simple love being simple, says the Book of Proverbs. Wrestling with God's wisdom will be challenging for us. But it's something that we'll do, that we can receive through the Word of God with one another. And then we have Jesus. How did we put it this morning? Jesus is our ultimate teacher or wise teacher, wise leader. What was the word she used this morning? This is interactive. Pardon? Our wisdom leader? Yeah, our ultimate wisdom leader. We learned this morning that wisdom is precious. And do you believe that, dear sisters?
I'll ask you that again at the end of this, an end of the sermon.
A great former principal of SMBC College in Sydney says, wisdom is living in harmony with reality. Wisdom is connected to creation. And we'll see that this morning. But wisdom does call to us, and we need to approach this wisdom in Proverbs with fear and trembling, in the fear of the Lord. I say all this because we're going to do a lot of Bible flicking this morning, a lot of discussing with one another. But I want you to hear that exhortation first. God wants us to seek wisdom, to know where we fall short, to repent, and find forgiveness and life in Jesus, and follow Jesus, our wisdom leader. I want you to just take a moment now and discuss with the people around you. This will be your group. So if you are sitting on your own, can you move so that you can create maybe a three in these rows? It's much easier to be a three, but if you can manage a four, go for it. A group of three, and discuss, why did you choose to come to this elective? What are you hoping to get out of this elective this afternoon? Chat with the person next to you. Okay. To practice the interactive nature of the elective. Sorry, I put my glasses on so I can see you clearly. I've got one of those, like, not that bad of eyesight, just wear them to watch TV or in church, but I want to see your faces, so I'll put them on. Sorry if there's a bit of a glare. Why did you come to this elective this afternoon? Who's brave enough? Just a short answer. What are you hoping to get out? Yes. We've got a woman down here who's fairly straightforward, says what she thinks, and she hopes that it's wise, but wants to bring that before the Word of God this afternoon. And that, I imagine, for many of us, this woman will be a woman we need to learn from. What about, why else? Why did you come this afternoon? Yes. This woman here, she uses words a lot in her job. She loves to speak. She uses them a lot. And she knows, she realizes that words can be powerful. And because she speaks a lot, she wants to use her words wisely, bring before the Word of God. So someone who also speaks a lot, gives a lot of advice, but finds that she can stumble into problems. And that's probably, you just have more of a statistical chance of doing that because you do it more often. And wondering and wanting to examine, is she leaning on her own understanding? Yeah, what a great reason to be here. And I imagine that most of the people who are going to put up their hand in this first session are those who do speak a lot, who are quite direct. Anyone else? Who has God made me to be? Maybe God's made you, like this woman here, to be a talkative person. And sometimes there's expectations that you shouldn't say as much, or, you know, but who has God made you to be? How can you use that verbal fluency, but also that desire for conversation to speak God's wise words and use it for his kingdom and align that for his purposes? Great. That's some great reasons. And all of you who are a bit more slow to speak, I'm sure you have wonderful reasons for being here. And that's the great thing about the body of Christ. That's why I decided to end on that. We all are all made differently. And so we need one another. And what did we say this morning? Wisdom is not a solo pursuit. Wasn't that a great line this morning? Wisdom is calling, so is folly. So what are my aims? Well, I put 1, 2, and 3 because some people in the room love to write stuff down. And that might not be possible. If you want to complete the sheet person, today might not be possible. Okay, but I have given you lots of verses. We'll get to that later so that you can chew on them in your own time as well. But what are my aims? Well, first, I would like us to leave here with a broad grasp of God's wisdom for speech in Proverbs. It's not every year or day that you can set aside a day for getting Proverbs under your belt, and you've come to one on speech. So I thought a good survey of speech in Proverbs would be good. Although that will be hard, I found 99 verses which refer to speech in Proverbs. 99 problems, but a few verses ain't one. And there's many themes: making promises, speaking too much, speaking too little, staying silent, what to do with quarrels, what to do with rebuke, lots of different things. We'll get a broad grasp. But the second aim is that we will value the goodness of God, of wise speech in God's creation. That speech is good. Wise speech is good. But the final point is, I hope that this seminar would ultimately lead us to repentance and dependence on Jesus. Because Proverbs will be a bit of a reality check for many of us. Not that we quite needed one. I think we all sort of know our weaknesses in this area. But it will be. I pray that you don't come out of this seminar burdened by your sin, but rather rejoicing all the more in our great Saviour and the repentance and wisdom he can give us. All right, so let's get into it. You'll see something that might make some of you very anxious, a big table of verses. Some of you, it makes you very excited. In Proverbs, we will see that on the one hand, there is speech that is crooked, corrupt, smooth, foolish. Okay? But on the other hand, there'll be speech that is wise, gracious, righteous, prudent, timely, and true. And so I want you to have a go at looking at a bunch of different verses. So I'll tell you the way this is going to work. You see that table in front of you? Oh, I should put up that first verse. Oh, we're going to skip that one. That's just, you'll get that this afternoon. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. So read the verse, work out whether it's an example of crooked speech, corrupt, foolish, or an example of wise speech, righteous, timely. Oh, yeah, if you don't have an outline, there's some down the front. If it's a bit harder for you to move, ask your neighbour to come get one for you. I'm sure they'll be willing to do that. And then if there is one, the result of that speech. Many of these proverbs will say, wise speech leads to this, foolish speech leads to that. So that's just a column for you to say that. It's a going through pretty quickly task, but together we can definitely tackle it. So I'm going to split the room into quarters to tell you how to tackle this table. You listening up? So this quarter here, start from the top and do all the non-shaded ones. Here, could you start from the bottom doing all the non-shaded ones? Here, can you start from the top doing the shaded ones? And here, can you start from the middle? From the bottom. Start from the bottom doing the non-shaded ones. Oh, you don't on yours? Sorry, okay, let me just try that again. Some of us have better printing than others. Dear Joyful. Okay, what's going on here? Okay. I'll tell you, the first one is a non-shaded. The second one is a shaded. So you're either going from the top, doing every second one starting at the first, or the top's doing every second one starting at the second, or you're going from the bottom. The bottom is not shaded. So you're doing either every second one starting from the bottom. Yeah. But I think even if you're confused, even if you do the wrong one, we'll cover it eventually, okay? There's a lot of women in the room. Have a go at finding out what sort of crooked speech do we have? What sort of wise speech do we have? And what are some of the consequences of those speech? And I'm going to give you a good 10 to 12 minutes to do that in groups. So go for it. I'll wander around. Don't get too afraid by me wandering around. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, wonderful work, ladies. I hope that was enjoyable. Can someone just put up your hand and give me an example of a corrupt speech or a crooked speech? What's an example? Lying. Yeah, that came up a lot, didn't it? Lying. What else? Yes. Yeah, adulterous, like they have the smooth speech. So it sounds wise, but it leads to trouble. Yeah. Yes? Stirring up conflict and gossip. So not just conflict and gossip, but the stirring up of conflict and gossip. That's crooked. Yes? Yes. Answering before listening. I love that one. I want to read it out. Is it answering before listening? This is folly and shame or something like that. I think I'll pull up that one up before. Yes, yeah, so answering before listening, that it's foolish speech. It's crooked speech. Any others? Yes. Repeating an offense, bringing up an offense from long ago, keeping on bringing it up. Yeah. Other things? False witness. Yeah. So that's lying, but it's a specific sort of lying. And the consequences of that sort of speech are pretty heavy in the book of Proverbs. You'll lose your field or you might lose your life, depending on, but a false witness will bring ruin. Other examples? Yes. Flattery. Just let that sit. Yeah, flattery. Well, great. That's a picture of the crooked speech. And we'll lean into those a little bit more in groups just in a second. But what are some examples of wise speech? Yeah, a timely word. Yeah. Speaking with grace. Yeah, that's a good verse. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. Another example? A good reply? Yeah. Honesty. Yes. And I suppose in that is like complete honesty, saying exactly what you're feeling and thinking. Yeah. Honesty, but then there's covering wrongs. That's right. And that's the input in opposition to repeating a matter. Yeah. Yeah. Discerning. Yeah. So, and also speech that intends to instruct. Yeah. Heartfelt counsel. Yeah. So well thought through speech. Yeah. Yes. Patient and gentle speech. Yes. Great. And there was a bit of a theme of true and righteous throughout, but it's hard to know how to articulate that. I would imagine I'd find it hard saying to the audience. But yeah, this idea of speech that's true, speech that comes from the mouth of a righteous person. Crooked speech. What are some of the results of crooked speech? Ruin. Disaster. Pardon? Bitterness. Oof, it's all hitting heavy. Yeah? Yes? Separating close friends. That's right. Conflict. Yeah? Death. True. Disciplined. Yeah. So receiving the right and proper discipline for your crooked speech. That's right. What about the result of wise speech? Pardon? One at a time, maybe. Encouragement. Yes. Yes. Joy. Sweet healing. Yeah. Oh, healing. Yeah, great. Trust. Yeah, make someone trustworthy. And trusting in the true word of God, a bunch of verses like that. Any other results? Yeah. Pardon? Wrong is averted. Yeah. Wrong can be averted through wise speech. Amazing. Yes. Glad hearts. Okay. Did you enjoy that task? What I want you to do is just turn to the people next to you. Which one was your favorite? And Often our favorite is one that we see at work in our lives. Would you share your favorite and how you see that at work in your life? Sorry, ladies, I'm going to have to cut you short. I'm realizing the time. Note that down. Here are some of my favorites which didn't make it into the list. Maybe some of them did. I don't mean to lie to you. Just like a north wind that brings unexpected rain is a sly tongue, which provokes a horrified look. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. Oof. That comes to me. Here's a nice long one. Sending a message by the hands of a fool is like cutting off one's feet and drinking poison. Like a useless legs on the one who is lame is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like tying a stone in a sling is giving honor to a fool. Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like an archer who wounds at random is one who hires a fool, only passes by. It's just generally just advice to you, don't hire a fool. As a dog returned to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Do you see a person who is wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. Actually, all the ones you've made it in there are some of my favorites, but just little gems of wisdom that really do connect with our understanding. Well, we've gotten a bit of a broad grasp. There are some themes, and maybe the themes we saw there of crooked speech or of wise speech are ones that particularly stand out to you. But we can't do them all. So I want to zoom in on when not to speak, which actually in your outline just says when not speak. Sorry about that. That's the sort of thing that makes me chuckle a lot. So we're going to do when not to speak, and we're going to look at when to speak. And for time's sake, we're going to split that off between us. You're only going to get 5 minutes. Can you guys do when not to speak? Just summarizing it. That's why I left it blank. Just a summary of what the proverb says about when not to speak. And can you guys start at the top? You guys start at the bottom. And then when to speak, that table that you've got there, can you guys start at the top and you guys start at the bottom? And hopefully we'll get a good grasp of this, because I think this is an area that we, particularly as Christian women, really need to have under our belt. So, any questions? Okay, 5 minutes-ish, maybe a bit more. Go. Okay. Wonderful work, ladies. I forgot to do my intro to this section before, so I'm going to do it now. You say it best when you say no. Oh, that's right. That's a bit of a creepy song, I think, but we love Ronan. Yes, when to speak and when to not. And some of you have pointed out that some of the ones on when to speak probably fit better in the not. Some of the ones in the not probably fit better in the thing. But that's okay, because you didn't get to do the other half, so you got to do a bit of everything. But what are we learning here about when to speak and when to stay silent? So let's start with our silent people. What did you learn? When not to speak? All the time? Yeah? Pardon? When you're gonna lie? Yeah. that's great. Yeah. Because you conceal hatred with lying lips. That was a really good proverb. So that's 10, 18, 19. We often lie to conceal our own hatred, which I felt very exposed by that. Very wise thing to know. Sin is not ended by multiplying words. The prudent hold their tongues. Yeah, it's a good one. Okay, other things? Times to stay silent? Yes? Listen before you speak. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. But listening, obviously the opposite of folly and shame. Yes, up the back. Yeah, seeking wisdom, understanding and knowledge before you speak.
That's right.
Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent. It's a good one. It's a good thing to teach your children. They keep themselves from calamity. Anything else anyone wanted to say from the silent side? Yeah. Yeah. When someone's shared something with you in confidence, you should not speak.
Yeah.
All right. What about our when to speak side of the room? You also thought you shouldn't speak? Especially not in this group sharing time? Yes? Constructive criticism. Yes. People need a rebuke. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Did you read that one? That's for those on this side, that's Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. The wounds from a friend can be trusted, but the enemy multiplies kisses. Okay. Any other things? Yes. When to rebuke. Okay, tell us about when. Yeah, so you should not rebuke a scoffer because you'll just get abused. You should rebuke the wise. So do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. And so we should work out if someone's ready to hear. But that's interesting, isn't it? And we'll come back to that idea because I think we often use the ready to hear as a reason not to give words of rebuke or truth. But we see its consequences. Ladies over here pointed out that chapter 29, verse 1, whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Cautious about giving a rebuke over and over and over again, because if there is no repentance, it could really be. But a lot of these proverbs, they actually focus on not just how we speak. So our seminar on speech is ultimately not just about what we say, but how we receive what is said. Wasn't a lot of these verses really poignant to you? It was to me. Yeah. Whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor rather than the one who has a flattering tongue. Do I believe that? Do I seek the favor now rather than in the end? A rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes a fool. Are we a discerning person who would be impressed if we were rebuked? Do we see that an open rebuke is better than hidden love? And as this morning was reminded to us, do we seek out friends, our church family members, who will speak in hard words to us? Or are we those who remain stiff-necked? But you can't remain stiff-necked for long, or not for your whole life, because eventually it'll come crashing down. All right, on that joyful note, before we turn to some practical examples, many of you have had a look at them already, I just want to see, how do we understand this wisdom of creation, these observations, about the way the world works in light of Jesus. Dear sisters, could you turn? Actually, I might have it on the screen. I'm looking for Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Might have to go through a few. Great. Jesus goes on. He says, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. You know this, don't you, sisters? It's not what goes in. It's not the food. It's from within. From a person's heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within and they defile a person. It's very confronting as we think about speech because we know that from the heart of a man, the mouth speaks. And our corrupt talk that's coming out from us comes from within. We have a heart problem. And as we read these proverbs, some of us are getting very heavy-weighted. We can remember things that we've said, even the last week, that we long to repent of. But out of the heart the mouth speaks. And I also wanted to just turn, everyone, to, if you have your Bibles, open them to James chapter 3. You can't be an elective on speech without going to James chapter 3. And I put it to you that the Apostle James is actually expounding a lot of the verses that we've been talking about. The book of James, it's really at chapter 3 where we realize what it is that is the issue of the church at this time, and that is that there's quarreling going on. Maybe that hits too close to home in terms of what's happening at your church at the moment. And he particularly addresses teachers. What have I got there from verse 5? So the verses on here are the ones I want us to focus on, but I want to read from verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. We all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his own body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. They are large. They are driven by strong winds, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. And so the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. And here we have, similar to our Proverbs, we have an expounding of the tongue. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Sisters, did you know, verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the course of life, set on fire by hell. For every beast, bird, reptile, sea creature can be tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. James chapter 4 says, what causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not your passions that are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, and you do not receive because you ask it wrongly. I hope this is a part of the scriptures that we know well. But this is a truth that we need to come to, and the New Testament is very clear on. That is, we can't control our tongues. That's what James is saying. We can't. And we need to understand this about ourselves. Although we fight this battle of self-control, although we do seek to put away false speech, crooked speech, and adapt wise speech, we need to be realistic that we can't beat our tongue. Our tongue will win. And is that just depressing? Maybe. But the scriptures tell us this so that it can be realistic, so that we will be cautious, so that we will be guard when we use our tongues. Dear sisters, is that something you need to hear this morning? You arrogantly think you have control of your tongue until all of a sudden everything falls apart. We do fight this battle of self-control, but the tongue often wins. So I really want to encourage you, dear sisters, once you leave this seminar today, to know that the tongue, it's deceptive. And we do need to be rightly cautious, and we need to listen before we speak. We need to consider before we speak. Colossians chapter 3 says, now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. You have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. It's not all depressing news. Our great God has given us the Holy Spirit. We are being renewed after the image of our creator. Do you know who your creator is? Just to remind you, he is the God who speaks. He sent his son, the Word, into the world, full of grace and truth. He alone has words of eternal life. We can bring our speech, our tongues, in prayer to him, asking to renew us and change us. We need to hear the warning that we shouldn't be arrogant to thinking we can control our tongues. We should be dependent on God and asking him for wisdom. For our tongues aren't just used to cut down, they are used to build up. And I just wanted to, in passing, take you to Colossians 4. My heart in my church is particularly for evangelism. It doesn't quite fit in smoothly to the talk, but I wanted to give you the exhortation anyway, because a lot of the time, words in the New Testament concern this. Colossians 4, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious. Like gracious, it tastes like honey. That's what the proverb said. Seasoned with salt, that is distinctive, different from others, so that you may know how to answer each person. Because such a perverse thing is sin that some of us will take, okay, I need to be cautious. I need to control my tongue. I need to think wisely. So maybe they're not in the right place to hear that rebuke. Maybe they're not in the right place. And I actually use that. I use God's wisdom as an excuse not to say God's truthful words to a friend who needs to hear the correction. Or I might use that as to say, Maybe my non-Christian friend's not quite there. They're not ready to hear the news about Jesus. Maybe they will take it too harshly. Maybe they're a fool. No. Gracious, seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer each person. And it is just slightly a side point, but obviously very core and key. But I want to just encourage you, sisters, the way Christians speak is different from the world. And that's why the world often is quite concerned about hateful speech. And that's obviously a lot of the time targeted at Christians. But when we come to conferences like this, we don't hear swear words, for example. Our speech is distinct. Would you use that as an opportunity to share the good news of life in Jesus? And before we go into our scenarios, we won't have time for Q&A. Ephesians 4 is where I want to land. Will you turn, dear sisters, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity for the devil. Skip down to verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Here's the summary of Proverbs wisdom for speech. Put away corrupting talk and only speak what is good for building the other person up. If that is your lens on speech, you'll be well in the realm of wise speech. But as fits the occasion, as we learned. Don't answer the fool according to his folly. Answer the fool according to his folly, as fits the occasion, that it may be give grace to those who hear. Will you take this task upon yourselves, dear sisters, to be those who give grace in the way that we speak? But that's all a little bit lofty. We need to get a bit practical. What will it look like? I have 6 scenarios, because you're dealing with a woman who can't cut things down, as you might have noticed from the outline. 6 different scenarios. I'm going to read each one of them out, and then I want you and your group to choose one to discuss, okay? And you can discuss more over lunchtime. So, scenario number 1. You have noticed that a close friend of yours who is unmarried has been unwise with their boyfriend. I tried to make it very vague. Your husband confirms this as he hears from the boyfriend about their late night drives together, their actions in the car. How do you approach your friend? What would wise words look like? Scenario two. You always get home an hour before your husband. That hour is frantic. As you help the eldest child process the bullying they received at lunchtime, you distract the middle child with TV shows and soothe the youngest through yet another teething stage. When your husband gets home, he makes a beeline for the fridge, crashes on the couch after an exhausting day. What would wise words look like? Scenario three. You have slowly made friends with a group of mums at the swimming pool during your daughter's class. This week, one of the mums brings up a contentious political topic. She complains that even Christians aren't doing anything about this topic. Christians are cowards. What would wise words look like? Scenario, just bombarding you with questions. Scenario four, a woman in your workplace has never liked you. She often cuts you out of conversation with other colleagues at lunchtime. She does not pass on information to you, hoping the boss will notice your poor performance. When asked, she insists that she sent it and claims that you must be incompetent and that you want to please the boss only because you fancy him. Anything you tell this colleague about your personal life is soon known by the whole office, accompanied by lies. What would wise words look like? Yeah, so an example of bullying in a pretty neutral position in the office, but that'll be important in just thinking about all different of lives. Okay, scenario five. Your four-year-old son has slept well. He enjoys his breakfast with you and your husband. Once your husband leaves for work, his mood changes. He demands to watch TV and you gently say no. This triggers a major tantrum. Your son throws a toy which knocks over and breaks the vase that you and your husband bought on your honeymoon. What will wise words look like? Six, you are a ministry leader at your church and your 20-year-old daughter served as a children's ministry leader. On Sunday, she comes home and tells you that a core member's teenage son, she saw them, vaping outside the local shopping centre. What would wise words look like? Okay, 5 minutes with the people around you. Choose a scenario. What would wise words look like? Connecting into some of the proverbs that we've looked at today. Dear sisters, my apologies. It's 5 minutes till lunch, so we need to wrap up a little bit. Did you enjoy doing that? Are you all just shrugging your shoulders? Oh, you did? Good. These are all examples from my ministry. I can give you names of specific people. The first one, the close friend of yours, the unhelpful stuff in the driveway. I'll tell you this story. A husband and wife, the wife was thought a lot about it. She approached the conversation like this. She was like, I've been thinking about this. I'm wondering how I can raise this with you. I love you a lot. I thought it's really important for you to hear this. She did all the cushions, okay? And she approached it that way. The husband said, hey, what have you been doing? Need to stop that. Okay? The woman, who's a very godly woman, who spoke to her female friend, the friend took it very badly. She was the most cautious, gracious, loving, but the person didn't want to hear it. There is no way my friend could have known that. So I just wanted to encourage you with that, sister. You could be as cautious as you want, but if someone's not ready to hear, they're not ready to hear. But that shouldn't put anxiety on you. Are they ready to hear or not? Sometimes it'll be obvious that they're not. Most of the time, you won't know until you say it. But will you trust that God will bring about good from your truthful, gracious speech? The husband, the guy, he accepted it really well. He's like, thank you. Yes, I know. I really need to sort it out. He was no graciousness at all in the way he said it. But it was really effective. I don't just think that's a difference between men and women, though, let me just say. I think that's just a different difference in terms of where your heart is at. Okay, what's the second one? Oh, yes. Well, you can have fun with that. that 15 minutes when as a married couple, when you're back together again after the date, it doesn't matter who gets home first or what it looks like. Just want to encourage you, that's a really important time for wise, godly speech. And it'll look different for all of you. But I think I just wanted to encourage some of you in that stage. Just think about that first 15 minutes well and chat that through with your husband. The third one, that is hard, isn't it? And working out how can we share the gospel? Actually, I'm not going to speak on that one. I could do that. The workplace, that's worth thinking through because that could happen in your family as well. Bullying, gaslighting behavior. What do wise words look like? And I would just suggest that that's something you should really take to friends. It will be really hard. You will feel embarrassed. You'll feel a bunch of different things, but we need each other in working out what wise words look like. The burden is not upon you to rectify this situation with your words. Okay? Oh, it's all quick fire at the end, isn't it? Your four-year-old son is... Oh, that's hard. Like, I don't know how... Can someone tell me about that? I don't have a son, but that would be really hard for me. Number five. I made that one up. I thought, oh, that one would be really challenging. Six. This has happened at a church I've been in. What the ministry leader did was tell a former minister's wife, who was now at another church. Then that minister's wife told the mum of this teenage son. And then the church neared a church split. I'll just read it out again. You're the ministry leader at your church. You're the ministry leader. Your 20-year-old daughter serves in the children's ministry leader. One day she comes home telling you this. She saw a core leader's son vaping. Your daughter tells you that. Then you tell a minister's wife over here. Then that minister's wife raises it with the mum of this son. And the mum of this son's like, what has happened here? And then several other faulty words have happened since then. But one thing, one word, okay? She decided to share it with this other person. It's a chain reaction, okay? That's not a great way to finish the seminar. But just being cautious with our words. But I just want to encourage you, this is quick to repent. I shouldn't have said anything. I should have come to you first. That's all that was needed to mend a big thing. Our tongue, we can't control it. We're going to make mistakes. We're not all knowing and we're sinful. But we need to be quick to repent. So, in summary, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only as such as good for building up. Your application is over lunchtime. Dear sisters, will you let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth? Only such is good for building up as fits the occasion. And give grace to those you hear. I am going to... Should I lead us in prayer? Yeah. I'm going to lead us in prayer for these things. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this session this afternoon. We thank you that you are a God who speaks, that your word gives life, and we have found that life in Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we have your word, and it's been very confronting this morning, but also really encouraging. I pray, Father, that you would work by your Holy Spirit in the lives of these women to grow them into those who are slow to speak, who are quick to listen, but who use their words. Some of whom are bubbly, some of whom are more shy, who use their speech to build up others. Would you grow in us a great heart of repentance? When we fail in this area, would we come straight to you in repentance and would be quick to ask for forgiveness from others? Lord Jesus, may you return soon so that the day of corrupting talk would be over. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.